gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 6 minutes after the hour. All right, stephaniemiller.com, the website. Oh, thank you. Well, we got the, we sent out the vacation video.
Yep.
Mama's Montana vacation video. Thanks for your kind and snarky comments.
Yes.
All right.
And you got it if you were a subscriber to stephaniemiller.com.
Yes, and why wouldn't you be?
Exactly.
It costs you nothing.
That's right.
And it gives and it gives until
and,
it hurts.
And we don't spam you.
No. All right, sexyliberal.com, the sexy liberal website. Off to Portland this weekend. Very few tickets left there. Get it. Get it. Big week for the Stephanie Miller Show. We welcome a new affiliate in Columbus, Ohio, and also Washington, D.C., 1480 a.m. Guess what those little scamps in D.C. are doing?
What are they doing?
They're already having a Mama and the Mooks fan meetup this weekend.
Are they really?
To celebrate our first week back on the air.
Aww.
In Washington, D.C. Oh, give me some festive music. Let's see. Who writes here? Okay. Donna. First ever Mama and the Mooks fan meetup this weekend in Washington, D.C. So far, we have 12 people that want to talk and laugh with you behind your back. Can you announce this? From Donna, the official vegetarian travel agent of the Stephanie Miller Show. 7 p.m. at McGinty's in Silver Spring, Maryland. That's
okay.
Yeah.
Are we doing
Saturday.
A D.C. area community calendar?
Yes. Yes. It's our first feedback on the year announcement. There you go.
And I'm putting that up on your Facebook page right as we speak.
Mom and the Mooks meetup. Okay. I don't know what that's about. Okay. But thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hey, you know other great things in D.C.?
Who? What?
Yeah. Carl.
Yeah. Okay.
Carl Frisch. Exciting. Bullfightstrategies.com. So inviting to me. Hello, Carl Frisch.
Good morning.
You have some of the funniest, snarkiest tweets, which we enjoy. And you said the same thing we did first yesterday watching the Bachman press conference. You said, Marcus looking fabulous in pink as Michelle Bachman pulls out of the race.
I mean, come on now. I mean, like the speech the day before when she said, and when I was out there campaigning, Marcus was buying sunglasses for our dog.
Yeah, that's the single greatest thing.
Don't they know what people are saying?
Exactly, exactly. It's just the how unaware they both are is what's so charming. And then there he was. I don't know if you saw him. He has a giant what do you call those? Cold sore. A little bit of cold sore for
shaker.
His big moment. Yeah, a little shaker for his moment in the sun. That was unfortunate.
Yeah.
he's been praying for it. So
yes, as you point out, you were correct to predict in the Iowa caucuses, number one, the phony, number two, the homophobic, number three, the racist. And you were correct.
Congratulations, Carl.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure how close they'd be, but I was confident of that order.
There you go. And another, I thought, a very accurate comment, Perry shouldn't read anything from the podium, sort of like watching a third grader trace words with his finger in the classroom, which is true.
He was reading that letter from some kid, as part of his faux concession speech. We found out later that it wasn't a concession speech. And stumbling across like every third word, I felt really sorry for him.
Yeah. Were you surprised and I love his campaign organization just continues to be seamless. Apparently his campaign manager is like, what? I had no idea. He tweeted what? We're
great.
Still in?
Well, I mean, if you think about it, it makes sense. I mean, his donors are mainstream donors in the Republican Party. So in all likelihood, they want him to continue to help Romney get the nomination.
Yeah.
Exactly. Now he's just being a useful tool.
Yeah. All right. And of course Santorum on everyone's lips this morning.
Oh.
How do you think he felt all night on caucus night when they kept on saying it's a three-way?
Oh, yeah.
And
Tamron Hall of MSNBC actually said Santorum is on everyone's tongue.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ah.
Ouch.
She meant Santorum salad.
Uh-huh. Oh, yes, okay. Santorum salad.
All right. Let's toss that aside and dive into the right-wing world, shall we, kids?
Oh, God.
Ick. Gretchen Carlson on Fox and Friends. Gretchen Carlson on Fox and Friends. Here we go.
Well, the one thing that Mitt Romney touched on last night, which you can be darn tootin' sure this will be in the first ad that Mitt Romney puts out against Obama if he's the nominee, is that particular piece of sound, as we call it in the TV business, where President Obama gave an interview where he said, look, if I can't fix this economy in the first term, then I should be voted out. I mean, you put that up against what he just says there, that he needs another 4 years, and that's a pretty compelling campaign ad.
So she's writing campaign ads for the GOP now.
Yes.
That's fair and balanced.
Well, you darn tootin' she is. She wants to keep that job on Fox and Freaks. I don't think what Obama counted on was these Republicans in Congress that he was going to have to deal with.
Right. Well, that being said, he still did he say that the unemployment rate will be zero? No, it's considerably lower than when he took office, and obviously the
he's reversed the trend. I mean, the trend was everything was going up, the employment was going up, the number of unemployed were going up. Right. And those things are not happening anymore.
Well, he foolishly believed that Congress would help him in some way.
Yes, but they in some way would be interested in job creation.
And saving the country.
Yeah.
But no.
No. All right, Rush Limbaugh.
If you were Romney, which endorsement would you rather have to
Which Romney would you be?
John McCain or Rush Limbaugh?
Oh, God.
He's got the McCain endorsement in New Hampshire. Now, why aren't these brilliant consultants and all these campaign experts and managers, why aren't they warning Romney against getting endorsements from McCain? I just don't understand it.
Wow.
It's possible. I thought they hated Romney more than McCain, but maybe not.
Well, I mean, he wants to win New Hampshire. I don't know if you watched the McCain-Romney event. It was extremely awkward.
Yeah, it was. Mitt Romney was fidgeting through the whole thing.
Yeah, he was trying to laugh at McCain's jokes and attempts at humor. It was just not pretty. I agree with Rush. I mean, I think Rush's endorsement, and I hope he means the rock band Rush, not himself.
Yes.
I think Rush's endorsement would do much more for Romney than McCain's endorsement in this primary.
Yeah. I guess because the Republican Party has gone right wing lunatic fringe, right?
Right. I mean, and he didn't say this is going to help you in the general. I mean, you may have to shoot yourself on the foot to get the nomination, but at least there's hospitals and you have a couple $100 million to get everything fixed.
There you go. All right, Meghan McCain on MSNBC.
Listen, the caucus means very little to me. My father did not become the nominee having anything to do with the Iowa caucus. I find it almost irrelevant, almost completely irrelevant. I mean, I have no... If Rick Santorum becomes the nominee of this party, I mean, it is going to be bedlam and hysteria like you have never seen.
Bedlam and hysteria?
Wow. Yikes. Speaking of hysteria, I laugh.
Good grief. I mean... This is what we're left with from the McCain campaign, by the way. People thinking that Meghan McCain can be a political analyst. I agree that if Romney's the nominee, there's going to be bedlam and hysteria.
She said if Santorum is the nominee.
No, that's what I mean, Santorum. Yeah. But only for young people. I mean, the remaining six young people that are Republicans, they would likely leave. But she's wrong. I don't know where she was. I mean, apparently she was blogging at the time, but her father did compete in Iowa in 2008. He came in fourth place. And the media used his fourth place finish with 15% to claim that he was surging and coming back from the political dead, and then they carried him across the finish line in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
He did compete in Iowa in 2008. He did not compete in Iowa in 2000, but she's wrong.
Yeah, I mean, the point, though, about Santorum, it really is true. When I think Bagala said something like this, too. It really is that, how did he put it? He got to the battle too late to get killed. But, I mean, now that you look at his record, I mean, I think, who put together today, Chris, just like the 10 most outrageous
things?
Think
progress.
He's just as crazy as all the other crazy Republican candidates.
My understanding is that they just put them all up on a wall and played pin the tail on the crazy. Because, that you could actually wallpaper an entire room with his craziness.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Stuart Varney, Fox and Friends.
Had Ron Paul won last night, big time, by a big margin, if he'd have walked away with it last night, you'd see the market go down this morning, as opposed to the narrow Romney victory, and the market will be flat this morning. If a Republican victory looks more likely, and a reversal of President Obama's economic policies looks more likely as we approach the election, mm-hmm. at that point you will probably see the market start to rally, and your 401k sure. will do a little bit better.
Like it did under George Bush. What?
Huh? What? The market is much higher under President Obama than it is. What?
It's like 15% better off than it was when he took office. And, you know, furthermore, the notion that the stock market, these right-wing tools with English accents, and I have a soft spot in my heart for English accents, having lots of family from England, but they're not right-wing. So these right-wing tools with English accents that claim that the stock market does better when Republicans are doing well and worse when the Democrats are doing well are so full of it. I mean, they will only claim that the stock market is doing poorly because of something Obama does when the stock market is doing poorly and it happens to coincide with something Obama has done. They never come back when the market has a historic jump that happens to coincide with something Obama has done. It's just right-wing BS used to brainwash the octogenarians watching at home.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, as an American, Stuart Varney is very insulted by your commentary.
Exactly. All right, Carl Frisch remains in the sidecar. 18 minutes after the hour, we continue with Carl Frisch and Right Wing World next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller. I don't think she wants me coming to her window. David Crosby, maybe.
Get away, you perv. It's a three-way thing again. Stop it. 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Did I forget to mention that we have Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz on the big show today?
We do.
Are we going to let her talk?
We're going to let her finish her thought that Joe Scarborough talked over. All right.
And Gretchen Carlson. Gretchen Carlson was a complete,
word you can't say on the radio.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. To Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
That's right. She's the chairman of the Democratic Party. A little respect, please.
And then the Fox News' Fox Nation website says that Debbie Wasserman Schultz was incoherent in the interview.
That'll happen when Joe Scarborough's talking over you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And also Representative John Yarmuth, one of our personal favorites, to talk about the Iowa results and much more. Carl Frisch, who we always let finish a thought because each and every one are pearls.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Clutch
I'm
the pearls.
Like an oyster.
Yes, you are. Every time you open your mouth, a pearl falls out.
Yep. Okay, here's the part where we snigger like eight-year-olds because I say Peter Johnson. On Fox and Friends.
If you're an activist, say you're an activist, but to pretend that you're a news person, to pretend that
like
you're giving a fair and balanced view of things, when in fact you have no credentials to do that, and your only history is to engage in activism, to engage in politics, is to engage in propaganda, then that's an unfair portrayal of the news to the American people. So what I'm saying is let the buyer beware as we go forward in this process and see how these Republican candidates are covered in a way that's absolutely fair and balanced.
Wow.
Oh,
he said all of that on Fox News.
Wow.
He said it on Fox News.
Yes.
I thought he was saying it to Fox News.
Yeah. I assume he was talking about MSNBC.
Yes, he
was. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Probably. No sense of irony there.
No, none at all. I mean, you would think that he's probably the type of guy that thinks that the press never covered Bill Ayers.
Right.
You know, because he was apparently watching, press films 15 years ago, before Obama was even a candidate. So, it's an alternate universe that they live in. It's bizarro land, and what's up is down, and what's down is up.
Yep, exactly. All right, and we finished with Charles Krauthammer.
I think it's not about the appointee or even about the agency. I think this is a lawless action by the president, the end of a long string of lawless actions.
Oh, long string?
And it's banana republic style. The president is saying, I won't let Congress stop me. Actually, but it's in the Constitution.
What?
that you have to have the Senate approval. The Senate, he can only make a recess appointment if the Senate is in recess.
Uh-huh. Would you like the fun facts on that,
oh,
Carl?
My God.
President Obama has made far fewer recess appointments than any recent president.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking, of course, about Richard Cordray as the nation's chief
Consumer
Financial Protection watchdog. So, yeah, you knew this was going to happen, right? The complaints of massive overreach, blah, blah, blah. So he's had, this will make it now, he's had a total of 29 recess appointments, President Obama. George Bush made 171 recess appointments, Bill Clinton 139, George H.W. 77, Ronald Reagan 243.
Whoa!
But you know, you get the difference.
Not only that.
President Obama.
Not only that.
In case you haven't noticed, he's black.
More nominees blocked than any president in recent history. So I'm all for it. And in fact, I would love it if, because of the timing, Cordray will be able to stick around for 2 years.
Oh, cool.
Awesome.
I would love it if the president were to fill every gap in the government that requires an appointment.
Yeah.
With a recess appointment.
Yeah. I mean, doesn't that just kill you when they make those statements and it's so quick, it's so easy to just pull this out and go, yeah, Ronald Reagan, 243. This is 29, far fewer than any. I mean,
by a factor of 10.
I'm telling you.
Just about.
I think in some cases, Carl, it's that racist code. It's like, well, yes, but
well,
he's.
Well, of course it is.
Know.
I mean, that's why they have these pro forma sessions going on in the Senate. It, where one of the Republicans sticks around to gavel in and gavel out every single week. But it's not a real function of the Senate. So the president has every right and responsibility to do this. And at the end of the day, this is just a Republican attempt to cripple the agency so it can't do the work to hold the banks and Wall Street responsible.
Yeah. It's it's uppity, though, when President Obama does it, as you know. All right.
Yeah.
Carl Frisch, you are delightful. And I'm guessing that you have bought the occasional pair of sunglasses for Dexter Von Frisch, have you not?
He has no sweaters and no sunglasses. I don't want to wear it on my sleeve.
Yeah.
All right.
Did you see Marcus's face? It was like Charles Nelson Reilly.
Oh,
yes.
Really?
Oh. When Michelle said that he was out buying sunglasses, he was like,
no.
I was waiting for the that voice like ixnay on the sunglasses nay.
The voice of Paul Lynde.
Sammy.
Oh, please, Michelle Stallman.
For real, even.
Carl, for see you next week, honey. Love you.
Happy New Year.
Happy
you
New
too.
Year. Yay. Oh, that is. Go to I just love a Gawker, just even the. They put the picture of Marcus with a close up of the cold sore, and then it just says, awkward. Awkward.
Well, now that he's not going to be First Lady, he can go back to disciplining those barbarians. And there is no safe word in my clinic, Missy.
You know what? It's surprising because he looks like he's into facial care.
He looks like a man that uses
a lot of product.
Yeah. Not as much as Eric Cantor.
But moisturize. My goodness.
With SPF because you don't want to get premature wrinkles.
Oh, it's cold and dry in Iowa in the winter. What are you thinking, Marcus? Okay, well.
It's just from stress!
He looks a little stressed out. We'll talk about that next. 29
That's
minutes.
You're bastard people.
29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Can't start today without that fresh from the circus feeling.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try it free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, type in the promo code Stephanie. All right, 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. We will check in with Representative John Yarmuth and Chairman Debbie Wasserman Schultz later on in the show. All right, so we were talking about the unfortunate cold sore. I love Gawker. They write, poor Marcus Bachman, the gleefully gay-seeming, possibly pushy, highly catty Christian therapist husband, Michelle Bachman, suffered two humiliations this week. First, his wife called out his doggy sunglass shopping spree on live TV. Then the famously press-conscious fashion fiend. All I want to know is what they're saying about me, he told New York reporter Brian Lissa.
No, you don't.
No.
They're saying you're gay, Marcus.
Yeah. Very, very
sexy for this campaign. Too sexy for
He was forced to stand next to Michelle in the critical final moments of her campaign with a giant cold sore on his mouth.
Mouth.
Man on
no
mouth
mouse,
sex
no
now?
Gerbil, no mouse.
No, nothing.
I said mouth.
Nothing
mouth.
With the sword.
No. Must have been the stress. Tasteful doggy eyewear is not easy to find in Des Moines. Oh, dear. I'm going to miss him.
I just made him throw glitter in the air.
Glitter bomb Michelle last minute and come out of the closet. Here we go.
Last night, the people of Iowa spoke with a very clear voice.
Yes.
And so I have decided to stand aside.
They said, your husband's gay. Suspend your marriage. That's what they said. All right.
Physician, de-gay thyself.
By the way, I just have to do this since we just finished up Right Wing World. The obligatory Dick Morris made bad predictions about Bachman post.
Okay.
The Media Matters.
Yeah.
Our friends at Media. I predict.
You even need to follow. I mean, he is seriously, when you're worse than Bill Kristol. He is not just wrong, he's spectacularly, implosively wrong.
He writes entire books that are wrong. Condi versus Hillary.
I mean,
he gets the
Hannity,
past wrong.
Doesn't Hannity ever get embarrassed? I mean, these transcripts are always Hannity asking him and him being very unequivocal, and he's always completely wrong.
Yes.
And yet Hannity keeps asking him back, and well, what do you think is going to happen? You know he's just pulling it right out of his ass.
Well, I think that Lyndon LaRouche has got a resurgence. He's going to take the...
And that's a substantial ass.
Yeah, well, yikes. Mm. Exactly. That's why there's so many spectacularly wrong predictions up there. Media Matters, Randy Morris, author of the political classic, Condi versus Hillary, the next great presidential race. He's not only spectacularly wrong, he writes entire books about spectacularly wrong concepts from the beginning. Yes. Wonder how that book's doing. Predicted that
it's in the cutout bin.
He once predicted that, quote, Bachman is probably going to win or have a strong second place finish in Iowa. He also said Bachman is likely to be one of the two semifinalists overall for the nomination.
Right.
Wow. This was on December 1st. He said, it's not altogether impossible to foresee an Iowa result. Newt in first place. Romney and Bachman very close in the battle for second.
Or I could be completely wrong, but that's never happened before.
On August 15th, he said on Hannity, the first primary, the one against Bachman, would be held in Iowa, where Bachman is probably going to win and Perry could be very competitive.
Wow.
So much wrong.
It's wow. That's hard to do, to be that wrong. Consistently wrong.
Wow. You got to give it up for that. That is... I suppose he has value in the sense that if they chironed it, you go, whatever he's saying, completely the opposite.
Yeah.
So that's why he would be a political prognosticator in that sense, that you would go, oh, that will be exactly the opposite of what actually happens.
Remind me not to sit near him if I see him at a Vegas casino. I mean, if he's that wrong, holy cow, it must be catching.
Don't, yeah.
Don't sit next to him or Santorum at craps.
The house loves him.
Stephanie Louise Miller.
Craps. What are you saying?
I can't. You know what? It's a sickness. The Santorumisms. Once you get started, you can't. All right. Let's start with how crazy he is. Our friends at Think Progress have compiled the 10 most outrageous things he said on the campaign.
Yeah.
That's just in this campaign.
Yes.
Santorum.
Pardon me? Yes.
Yes.
Santorum. Mm. Uh-huh. All right. So let me...
So these things leaked out is what you're saying?
Jim Louise Ward. The problem is, because we're so focused on the eighth grade humor aspects...
we sometimes miss the real horror
of his policies.
Those are not pearls that drop out of his mouth.
No.
Or somewhere else.
No.
But...
he does not... Pearls, that's for sure.
No.
The point is, he has not had the scrutiny, and he is certifiably crazy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, here, let's, here are the...
fun facts?
Not so fun?
No, but if you actually think about... These are, okay. Number one, he would annul all same-sex marriages. We talked about that yesterday. He has pledged to annul... You can't do that. How do you end up being, like, for states' rights, and then all these states...
have...
Right.
Really? So as president, he would just annul them?
I dare say he's inconsistent.
Hmm. Santorum has... All right. Santorum has frequently compared same-sex relationships, just in this campaign, to inanimate objects like trees, basketballs, beer, paper towels. And he's even tried to blame the economic crisis on gay people.
Wait a minute. He got marriage to beer?
Yes. He keeps trying to make... He went to bad analogy college. I don't know. He's,
okay.
He has said he's on record as saying, I am for income inequality. I have no problem with income inequality. Likes it. Number three, contraception is a license to do things. So he's pledged to repeal all federal funding for contraception and allow states to outlaw birth control, saying it's a license to do things in a sexual realm that is counter to how things are supposed to be.
Oh, how he thinks things are supposed to be.
Yes, you're supposed to just do it in a marriage to someone of the opposite sex and breed like rabbits.
Yes, that's why he has seven homeschooled children.
Breed like Santorum's, yes.
Whatever happened to that little crying girl and her doll? Remember?
Oh, yeah, when he lost by nearly 20 points?
Yeah, in the senatorial.
Senate race.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I wonder what happened to her.
Oh, dear. All right. Number four, gay soldiers, quote, cause problems for people living in close quarters. Of course, even the head of the Marines has come out and said there has been absolutely no adverse.
He was the one most against the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and he said, oh, it's fine.
So there's some fictional problems that only Rick Santorum knows about. Yep. Okay, number five, Obama should oppose abortion because he's black.
Wow.
You know, Ron Paul seems to be getting all the racist glory these days, and you know what? You've got to really give it up for Rick Santorum. Because he's had a couple of doozies lately.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to help black people.
Yeah, he said, I find it, I'll get to that one. He said, I find it almost remarkable for a black man to say, now we're going to decide who are people and who are not people.
What?
Oh, I think he was making a reference to slavery and blacks being, you know, not, okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okie dokie.
All righty then. Okay, I'll get to the other second one. Number six, we don't need food stamps because obesity rates are so high. See, people are already too fat. They've already had enough food, so we don't need food stamps.
Yeah, so they can just live off their blubber.
Yeah.
Obesity
is
caused by poor nutrition.
Thanks, Jim.
Not because... Oh, God. You can't even... Why bother explaining anything to guys like that? It just bounces off.
Number seven.
A force field.
And again, exactly. And again, I feel like Rick Perry has stolen all the dumb thunder when we have not really taken time to appreciate how really, truly, deeply dumb Rick Santorum is.
Yeah.
Oops.
Okay. Number seven, abortion exceptions to protect women's health are phony. Any protections about health of the mother? That's just nonsense. They're phony.
Chicks will do that.
Yeah.
Make stuff
chicks
up
being
like
hysterical.
That.
Mm-hmm. Okay, number eight, health reform will kill my child. He told reporters his daughter Bella, who was born with a genetic abnormality, wouldn't survive in a country with socialized medicine.
What?
That would be a pre-existing condition.
Yeah, the insurance companies would throw her off the rolls because it would cost them money.
Mm.
Oh, man, are you an idiot.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't this seem like a contradiction in terms of his number 10 is insurers should discriminate against people with pre-existing conditions.
Oh, really?
So he's for
including
them
his daughter.
Yeah, he's for them discriminating against his... daughter, but socialized medicine is what would kill her.
Oh, okay.
He not only defended insurers for denying coverage to people with pre-existing conditions, he also argued that individuals who are sick should pay higher premiums because they cost more money to insure.
Wow.
See, there you go, getting some stupid pre-existing thing.
It's your own fault. Blame yourself.
Blame yourself.
You want medical care? 999. Mm-hmm. As the German doctor said.
You get cancer? Cut it out yourself.
Uninsured doctors should spend less on, uninsured Americans should spend less on cell phone bills. He said that people that can't afford health care should stop whining about the high cost of medical treatments and medications and spend less on non-essentials. He explained health care like a car is a luxury resource that is rationed by society. He recalled the story of a woman who said she was spending $200 a month on life-saving prescriptions. Santorum told her to stop complaining and instead lower her cable and cell phone bills.
What an a-hole.
Mm-hmm.
First of all,
you're compassionate.
Car is not a luxury item in L.A. where there's virtually no public
in
transportation.
In most places,
unless
you live, in the middle, in the center of a city, a car is not a luxury.
Mm-hmm. It's how you get to work.
Yes,
he wouldn't know because his limo driver takes him.
Yeah,
All right, buddy in Columbus.
Town car.
Yeah, buddy in Columbus on that crazy Michelle Bachman. Hi, buddy.
Hey, Mama, I thought Michelle was just going to dip her toe into the crazy pool. Yeah. No, she dove right head first in the deep end yesterday. Because it takes a lot of chutzpah to have a piquant moment.
It's a poignant moment that for her.
Chutzpah. Like, I'm going to miss her poignancy.
And then she said something about she was going to protect life from conception.
Yes.
And you're like, what are you talking?
She wants to be notified when the minute you conceive, all y'alls. She'll be there.
Yeah, background crazy. And also, it got nothing in the press. They don't even bother to hide it anymore. The night of the Iowa caucuses, Karl Rove was on Fox, and he said something like, well, I think there's going to be an undervote, and they're going to discover some votes for Mitt Romney.
Mm.
And by golly, they did.
By golly, that happened. That's interesting.
What do you know?
Don't even bother to hide it anymore. We're just going to do it.
Yep, exactly. Thank you, buddy. All right, 45 minutes after the hour. Back with all the latest on the 2012 Republican Crazy Car as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
Russell. I recommend kissing girls. 15 minutes after the hour.
Look what it did for you.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere.
Are there any pictures?
Brianna is helping her get over her breakup.
Yeah, I bet.
Mm, yeah, that's some girl talk I'd like to hang out for.
That's what I'm talking about.
You hit him with your umbrella, girl.
Are there any pictures of you kissing girls in those Montana pictures we posted?
No.
No?
I'm posing with a girl, though.
Oh, okay.
We didn't include everything, for God's sakes.
Yes, we put pictures of your Montana vacation up on your Facebook page and up at StephanieMiller.com.
And we also, you sended it the video, yep, which is fabulous. Okay, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Katie in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Katie.
Good morning, Mama.
Morning, baby.
Who knew, as a heterosexual woman, that a little Santorum could almost ruin my morning?
Yes, I apologize for that.
You did in your fun facts there say that he says abortion always wrong, life of the mother not important, right?
Not important. Right. No, he said it's phony. The medical excuses for, you know, threatening the life of the mother, blah blah blah.
So his wife's 1996 second trimester abortion probably was a bad plan, right?
Uh-oh.
You brought that up, Katie. You're not supposed to.
Katie Louise.
It's different when they do it.
I mean, and it was mainstream media at the time. The Philadelphia Inquirer did a story in May of 97. It's not like some, you know, all the things they like to blame now, the Media Matters for America, all that stuff. This wasn't like something they could throw a progressive label at that dug this up. I mean, it's right there. It's in print.
Yeah. He's against big government, unless it's all up inside your uterus.
Up inside someone else's uterus.
Right. Yes, exactly.
Because she said the reason that she gave that it was okay for her to have the abortion and not for anyone else is that their other children would then be left without a mother. So it was important that she go through
that.
With it.
Yes, yes.
Right, so it was still about the children, but just about her children.
You seem to be suggesting somehow some inconsistencies.
I feel like
my children. Katie, the most important question, will you be at the March 3rd Sexy Liberal at the Chicago Theater?
Stephanie, I'm in the front row.
Hello. I could tell from your smartness and snark that you would have been smart enough to have already bought your tickets. Thank you, Katie. See you for Super Saturday.
Yes, see you in March.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right.
Yeah, it's great. It's right before Super Tuesday.
I know.
And my friend Dr. Dan and the Chicago Blues All-Stars are backing us up again. Off the hook. Jerry, in fact, sent me a picture. I'm back on the Chicago Theater marquee.
You are. I saw that.
Me and Peter Frampton.
Yeah. I love you, Chicago. I love you, Shelburne.
He doesn't do that anymore.
He doesn't? No. Right. Well, I haven't seen him since 1979.
Oh, and you're up there with Creed.
He doesn't have hair anymore.
Creed.
Yeah.
Creed, me and Creed and Peter Frampton.
That's right.
Right. The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour took the Windy City by storm in 2011.
Vengeance Chicago!
Because of overwhelming popular demand, your favorite progressive comedy trio is taking it back to Chicago.
To Chicago! Chicago, show me
need love up in the club.
On March 3rd, at the height of the Republican primary season, insightful satirist John Fugelsang, mischievous heartthrob Hal Sparks, and the stunning seductress Stephanie Miller will perform live at the world-famous Chicago Theater.
Bring it!
Tickets are available online at Ticketmaster.com by calling Ticketmaster at 1-800-745-3000, and tickets can be purchased at the Chicago Theater box office. Join this record-breaking comedic revolution. It's your best remedy against right-wing distortions.
That's Chicago.
Second City, don't miss this second chance at sexy liberal splendor.
Yay! Okay, and be careful. The friggin' scalping sites are taking me off. These they make them look like the official site, or they make it look like the show is sold out. These are the only place you can get tickets, and then they're $1 million.
Whatever.
Yeah. Go. Only use the links at sexyliberal.com or sexyliberal on Facebook. Portland is at the Newmark Theater this Saturday. Just a few tickets left, but all the sight lines are good there, I'm told. So just eat it. Don't be afraid to eat those last tickets. And then Philadelphia coming up at the Merriam Theater, another great theater, February 4th. So eat it.
Sight lines very important in radio.
Yes. not so much in radio, but at the live show. How much do we love Paul Begala?
Yeah, we do.
The best pundit in the world.
Yes.
He said of the Iowa results, "I would never have guessed Rick Santorum would be so happy about two men being tied up together." He said, so while the winner of Iowa in terms of expectations is Santorum, the man... The man is he basically tied Mitt Romney. Not to put too fine a point on it, but you can't beat the man on dog guy. When you can't beat the man on dog guy, the guy who lost his home state by 18 points, you stink. You really stink. He just says it like it is. Stink, Mitt Romney. I mean, really, man on dog. All right, mittens. Yesterday.
My goodness, what a squeaker!
My goodness.
It sure is nice to have a win, I'll tell you. And the question I have for you is: can we do better here in New Hampshire? Can we? Yeah.
Okay.
You bet.
Okay. Got no Amber Waves grain here. That's okay.
Woof woof.
Oh, boy. So he busted out the John McCain landslide kiss of death? I mean endorsement?
Yeah.
Yes.
I am really here for one reason and one reason only, and that is to make sure that we make Mitt Romney the next president of the United States of America, and New Hampshire is a state that will catapult him on to victory in a very short period of time. That's why I'm here.
He's better than that one.
He actually said, hurry up, just hurry up and make it Romney. You're embarrassing me.
He didn't used to be such a big fan of Romney.
No. Newt and Mitt hate each other so much, and Rick and Mitt hate each other. You forget how much John McCain and Mitt hate each
That's
other
right.
in the last cycle. Oh, it was awkward yesterday.
Our message to President Barack Obama is, you can run, but you can't hide from your record of making this country
bitter?
Bankrupt, from destroying our national security,
bitter?
And
bitter,
to
party one.
Making this nation one that
also,
we have to restore with Mitt Romney as President of the United States of America.
Someone in the chat room says he got the coveted onion belt endorsement.
Yeah.
He's so angry.
Yeah.
He's always just speaks through clenched teeth.
Foreign policy disaster.
I think he's gotten over his hatred of, Romney, because he hates the president so much, because
right.
he's more bitter about that now than about losing to Romney. Okay.
That one.
Rochelle in Phoenix, the angriest dog in the world. Hello, Rochelle.
Hello. So I just had to call in. I promised my daughter I would call in today. So last night we're at the dinner table, and, you know, we had the news on. And, you know, they were talking about Michelle Bachmann, you know, stepping aside. And so my daughter says, she's 12, she says, so that leaves Rick Perry and Mitt Romney and Newt. And she says, and Frothy Santorum, right?
Oh.
I apologize,
wow.
Rochelle.
Doesn't know what that means,
no.
But I have to tell you, I just burst out hysterical, and I'm like, Morgan, his name, first name is not Frothy. Okay, don't say that.
Yeah, cool. Please don't.
Okay. Right. Just for her, we'll play Frothy again right after the top of the hour on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa. I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa. And I feel good. Hey.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number to join the party. Chairman Debbie Wasserman Schultz joins us next hour. Also, Representative John Yarmuth talk about the Iowa results and the ongoing. Whatever that is. What's going on?
Yeah.
The Republican primaries. By the way, the Stephanie Miller Show wishes to apologize to Rochelle from Phoenix and all of the parents who have had to explain to their children that his name is not Frothy Santorum. We apologize.
It's a very frothy holiday.
Frothy Santorum was a frothy mix of snow. With a corn cob here and a carrot there, and he looked just like some coal.
Hi again, kid. It's Frothy.
Hi, Frothy.
Can you tell us again where you came from?
No, I don't think so.
Why not, Frothy?
Well, I found out that when Frothy visits, a lot of people are eating breakfast.
Oh, Frothy.
And then Frothy got a visit himself from the elves at Standards and Practices. So I'm going to go now. Bye, kids.
So bye, Frothy.
Goodbye, Frothy.
Santorum had to hurry on his way, but he waved goodbye to me, and I'll try to be president someday.
Howdy ho!
Howdy ho, kids!
You just smell all nice and flowery.
You know, just for that reason, the invention of the Google, Rick Santorum cannot be president.
Right. It's still up there.
Talk
number
about
one.
Being talk about being the laughingstock of the world. Yeah. Google President Santorum. What? Oh, that's disgusting. Okay. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Stephanie Miller Show on Facebook. We have pictures of Mama's vacation up in Montana. And we also sent out the video, which our fine sponsor.
If you're a subscriber to StephanieMiller.com, you
received it. And why wouldn't you be?
Exactly.
I don't charge you money like the drug-addled gas bag, for God's sakes.
And we don't spam the hell out of you either.
No. Okay. And sexyliberal.com, sexyliberal on Facebook and Twitter. Check it out. Get the Sexy Liberal album. You know what? Every time we lose a comedy binky for Sexy Liberal, another one pops up, like Frothy. But Kristen Yankton shares our sadness over the departure of Marcus Bachman. Oh. Guys, if Marcus Bachman is looking like Charles Nelson Reilly, which he did yesterday.
Yeah.
He did look a little. This is awful. I hope no one sees my cold sore. Does this mean the rest of the Republican debates are going to be like an old match game set? With no Herman Cain, who gets to be Nipsey Russell? By the way, I would kill to hear Herman Cain doing some poetry like Nipsey Russell.
Oh, wow. Boy.
And okay. Then Bachman could hold up a card with the word patootie on it. Yes, I have a rich fantasy life. Kristen Yankton. Oh, Kristen Yankton with another fun fact. Steph, I saw another great nickname for the Ron Paul bots who swarm like zombies in Night of the Living Dead. Ronulans. That's a new one.
Ronulans.
The Ronulans.
Interesting.
Yeah, awesome. Oh, boy. All right. It just gets betterer and betterer. Nudie yesterday. Wow. Is he the new angry, bitter old man of the
Republican? Sounds like it.
He's replaced John McCain.
Oof.
If you want to truly change Washington, D.C., somebody who failed totally to change Boston may not be the right person.
Okay, Nudie. And then he talked about mittens.
Governor Romney, in the end, has a very limited appeal in a conservative party.
Okay. It's hard to be as appealing as you are, Newt. And then he went after Perry, you have all the rest, Bachman.
If you take, you know, Santorum and Perry and Bachman and Gingrich, you get some sense of what a small minority Romney really represents.
Oh.
Yeah, he unloaded on both Romney and Ron Paul yesterday. Gingrich said of mittens, I find it amazing the news media continues to say he's the most, he's just swinging at everybody. The media just swinging wildly.
He hates everybody.
I found
he's
it amazing.
The angriest dog in the world.
Mm-hmm. The news media continues to say he's the most electable Republican when he can't even break out of his own party. Well, that's true.
Yeah.
Then when provoked by a reporter's question in which she read a new quote from Ron Paul that accused Gingrich of dodging the draft during Vietnam, Gingrich took aim at Ron Paul. He did dodge the draft.
Yeah.
While being a, you know, he called him a chicken hawk, which is true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. He wanted to fight the Vietnam War to the last Negro.
Yeah. That's yes.
Much like Dick Cheney.
Yes. What he,
the war was fought largely by minorities and poor whites.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of other people.
Gingrich
we're
said,
all for it.
Gingrich
as long
said
as someone else is doing the fighting.
Yeah. Gingrich said of Paul what he just said about the same amount of accuracy as the newsletters he never said he wrote. This is a man who says wild and outrageous things with no facts and later denies he said them or wonders who wrote them because it couldn't have been him. Oh, it's just, it's getting so nasty over there.
Wow.
Apparently, he did have his stepfather said he had flat feet, which I've still never figured out what that is.
Sure.
What is that? Why
that's when
that
your arches have fallen.
Yeah. No arches, which, you know, I guess you can't run as fast, but Gingrich, that's not really an issue anyway.
That wouldn't seem like the major issue in his speed.
Well, in the 70s, you know, those sideburns were weighing him down.
Yeah. Wouldn't you give anything to see a foot race between him and Chris Christie? I mean, I don't know what, yeah. Just sounds a little suspect. Yeah. Much like Rush Limbaugh's giant anal cyst, which apparently got him out of serving.
Yeah.
As Randy Rose says, I had a cyst! I served! 12 after.
Except which is the cyst and which is Rush. Hard to tell.
How can you tell? How can you tell? How can you tell? Oh, by the way, speaking of a Gingrich and veterans, he told a veteran during a town hall in New Hampshire that he would support voucherizing the Veterans Health Administration. How about that?
Great.
Here's $100, frankly.
I think we should find ways to create satellite clinics that are local so people don't have to travel, and then we could find a way to have a voucherized system for those who want it. See, but then that would pull the... It's working really well. Everyone agrees on that.
Yeah, the VA system
is
doing quite well.
It would pull more people out of the... And then the whole thing would... Okay, never
mind. Which is the whole point.
Well, that's what he wants to do.
All right. Speaking of the Romulans, Ron Paul yesterday.
You know, when Newt Gingrich was called to service in the 1960s during the Vietnam era, guess what he thought about danger? He chickened out on that. He got deferments, didn't even go. So right now, he sends these young kids over there to endure the danger, and the kids coming back and the young people come back. And the ones in the military right now, they overwhelmingly support my campaign. We get twice as much support from the active military personnel than all the other candidates put together. So Newt Gingrich has no business talking about danger because he's putting other people in danger. Some people call that kind of a program a chicken hawk, and I think he falls into that category.
Yay! It's saying Ron Paul.
Yeah. That's the part of Ron Paul I like.
If you just played that, you'd be like, yes! Right. Okay.
And then there's the other stuff.
Yeah, that's the only part that the Ron Paul supporters hear. They don't want to hear the other stuff.
La 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 la. La 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 la. That's actually a pretty good rendition of every Romulan that's called this show.
Yeah.
I can't hear somebody about newsletters a long time ago. He didn't write it.
Yeah. Every time you confront them with facts, they keep talking and change the subject.
They put up their Romulan force field.
Yes, they do.
And they go pew 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 pew, which it just like magically sanitizes Ron Paul for your protection.
Romulan cloaking device where he cloaks all the bad stuff. And
yes, I can't. What? I don't. He didn't say. I don't know.
George Takei would be proud of me for.
Oh, I got the rare follow up letter from the Romulan yesterday that called the show.
Oh, yeah.
And said, why? What's wrong with you? Why do you lie about Ron Paul being against World War II? Well, because he was against World War II. Why don't you?
Actually, I think it was the Klingons about the cloaking device.
I talked to him on Twitter yesterday. I presented him with some facts and silence.
And what happened to the Romulan force field?
He went silent.
All right. Yeah.
He threw on his cloak of invisibility.
Yes.
Can't find him anymore.
And now I can't find him. He's gone. Okay, Ron Paul, yesterday?
Nobody disagrees with me that my reputation is I strictly adhere to the Constitution. I strictly adhere to balanced budget, never vote for spending that we can't afford, always lower taxes. I don't want to ever fight a war that's unconstitutional. And I'm the dangerous person.
I actually would much rather have Fatty Newt Gingrich with his big flat feet fighting than Ron Paul in it, because he would, you know, pick the wrong size uniform and he... You know what I mean? Trip over and
they've
got a little tiny head and a big army uniform. It would not be good.
But when he was younger, he looked like he would be spry, you know?
As Hal Sparks says, he looks like someone short-sheeted his suit, and he would try to run to the front lines and that. Oh, dear. I'm just saying.
He'd be a lot more spry than Newt Gingrich.
That's what I think. Right. Springing on his feet.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Frothy.
Yes. We will be in New Hampshire. We'll leave tomorrow. We'll spend our time there. And with your help and God's grace,
We'll have another fun night a week from now.
No.
Computer says no.
God, he's going to get drugged in New Hampshire.
A fun night with Santorum.
No.
And I got news for him. I don't think God wants him to be president.
No. God's a prankster, as we found out already.
Yep.
The two people he specifically told, Herman Cain and Michelle Bachman. I don't know. God is laughing his ass off.
Who knew God was Alan Funt?
And Rick Perry is looking, you know, he's the other one.
Oops.
God told, and he's teetering, although he's...
God told me,
although he did send out a really gay picture of himself yesterday in workout gear.
And Lycra.
Lycra. Still running.
I just said I was going to reassess.
You said
last
night?
Yeah, I reassessed.
You found a path
forward? We're headed to New Hampshire and then to South Carolina.
Hey, doggy! How? And as Howard Dean would say, you know what? The only thing that would have been better is if he was wearing the really gay Lycra running suit with Heath Ledger's jacket just over his shoulders.
Oh.
Just because there's a little chill.
That's pretty gay.
Just put the broke back jacket over his Lycra.
Yeah, that's pretty gay.
Yeah, because he made the marathon analogy. So that's the way he sent out the thing with him in running gear.
Yep.
Still running.
Mm-hmm.
Get it, little drummer boy. You know what? Since we're breaking out the holiday specials, let's play Little Drummer Boy when we get back.
We can do that.
Okay. So I'm still in the holiday
technically
mood.
It's still Christmas.
Yes.
It's the 12th day of Christmas. Well, tomorrow, I think.
Sure.
No, the holidays don't end until my birthday next week.
Hello.
Come on.
Drop that hint in. Whatever. 17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, that is like magic.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Chairman Debbie Wasserman Schultz coming up on the big show to discuss the Iowa results in New Hampshire and yada, yada, yada. and we will let her finish her thought that she started on Joe Scarborough's show.
Oh, Scarborough's on line 4.
It's like Bruce Almighty.
Yeah. And then Fox News makes fun of her for not finishing her thoughts.
Yeah.
It's like, why even go on Fox News or these right-wing shows?
Yeah.
You're just going to give them fodder for their website.
Yeah. Well, he wouldn't let her finish. Like,
right. Gretchen Carlson did the same thing.
Steele spout nonsense, and then when she tries to refute it, you know.
Yeah.
All right. So we will talk to Her Highness in just a little bit. All right. We were saying, because we're still in a festive holiday spirit and we had the, I think children in the future. So a listener's child thinks that his name is actually Frothy Santorum.
Oh,
which,
no.
We couldn't be happier. Happier than when we spread immaturity.
Good thing teenagers don't know how to work the Google.
Wait a minute now.
Oops.
So we played Frothy again just for the kids, and we had forgotten. Rick Perry's still in it. Still dumb.
Dumb, dumb. It's Rick Perry with a holiday message.
This all started when they came to me and said, you got a chance to be the big cheese.
Our dumb king, you should be.
Head honcho, man in charge, top dog. Sounded good to me. Then again, I had a problem or two.
I can't remember things.
Okay, the first one was, the second one, the second thing was, then there was that thing with the rock. That was a problem. That was really stupid, that one. Y'all have a happy Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa there.
Peace on earth, can it be? Years from now, perhaps we'll see. See the days of glory.
There wasn't a David Bowie part in that.
Okay. Okay.
All right, back to Frothy. we were saying he has not had, because of the immature humor. I'm just saying, he did squeeze it out in Iowa, and he was number two. And a lot of Santorum Rising headlines. What did Tamron Hall say?
Santorum is on everyone's tongue.
Huh?
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Eesh.
Yeah.
Gack.
I
got a lot of focus on the ridiculous, crazy things he's said on the campaign trail. How, for instance, this one, Rick Santorum compares social welfare programs like Medicaid to fascism. Wow. Under Mussolini.
It's just the opposite, actually. But corporatism is fascism, literally fascism.
He often talks about his grandfather's decision to flee Mussolini's Italy inspired him to enter the race and fight against President Obama's reliance on government, which is apparently exactly the same thing. Wow. He, on Wednesday morning, he went a step further, directly linking social welfare programs, the Affordable Care Act, Medicaid, and food stamps to the fascism his grandfather left behind.
Not even close.
More and more dependency, more and more government, exactly like what my grandfather left in 1925.
God.
Wow.
God. Social Democrats are the liberals. Yeah. They're not the fascists.
He should spend more time with historian, amateur paleontologist Newt Gingrich.
Yeah.
Frankly? Yes. And then I think we mentioned this during a stop in Iowa. On Sunday, Santorum singled out blacks as being recipients of assistance through federal benefit programs, telling a mostly white audience he doesn't want to make black people's lives better by giving them someone else's money.
Yeah, we played that
yesterday. We played that yesterday, but that's, you know, as you know, the only way black people can
Wall
get along
Street
is with white people
with
giving
other
them money.
Wow.
Is it me? Why is he still not getting media scrutiny? Is that not the most horrible racist thing you ever heard? And did you see that on TV a lot?
Yeah. No, I didn't. We'll have to leave it there.
That's a lot of blatant racist pandering to a clearly almost entirely white crowd in Iowa.
I cannot hear it. La, la, la. Cannot hear the racism. We'll have to leave it there. Both sides do it. It's exactly the same.
Oh, Blitz.
That's pretty much CNN.
Oh, Blitz.
No, Blitz.
He was too busy saying spurt of fundraising dollars that God. Santorum got. Oh,
no, Blitz.
No. Oh, no.
Oh, speaking of Herman Cain.
Yes.
Chris Mianken wanted to hear Herman Cain as Nipsey Russell.
Oh, could we have some game show music, please?
Sure.
Why, absolutely. Who wouldn't love that?
I'm here to set the record straight about sex appeal and a woman's weight. It's nice to be neat and look petite, but if you want to feel some heat, you got to have some meat.
Yikes.
Wow. Nipsey Russell was Herman Cain.
Yes, he was. He was the early Herman Cain.
Imagine there's
no
pizza.
He's not even original. He stole that.
George Washington threw a silver dollar across the river one day, and ever since then, politicians in Washington been throwing our money away. 999. Apples and oranges.
Wow. Awesome.
It's dubstep.
Maybe he
perfectly.
Is Nipsey Russell. It always seemed like a bit of a,
Is Nipsey Russell still with us?
No.
Okay. No. That's the story. Or is he Herman Cain?
Nipsey Russell had plastic surgery.
Faked his own death to come back and run in the 2012 Republican.
And be the head of Godfather's Pizza.
Right?
Wow. Well, Nipsey Russell did disappear in the 80s, and that's when Herman Cain ran Godfather's Pizza.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Coincidence? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, probably. Yes. Matter of fact, yes. Uh-huh. All right. That's the other thing I didn't see a lot of coverage of. Basically, you know, the rhetoric has gotten so bad about this president that people just say, okay. You know, I mean, Brent Bozell can go on Fox and call him, he looks like a skinny crackhead.
Crackhead.
You barely hear any, so basically Santorum accused the president of treason on the campaign trail, and nobody, you know, just let
We'll have to leave it there.
That's my new favorite thing, is Wolf Blitzer running out of gas.
We'll have to leave it there because both sides do it. It's all the same. We can't have any judgment about it.
No, Blitz.
29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
God, it makes me so sad that more people don't know about cougars.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour, Representative John Yarmuth and Chairman Debbie Wasserman Schultz coming up all next hour to talk about the Republican...
Chairman?
the Republican primary.
Chairwoman.
It doesn't seem like a primary this year. It's some sort of
thing.
Yeah. Highly entertaining. 1-800-STEF-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Yes.
Speaking of caucuses, did you see that Bill Kristol was really upset that Obama tried to upstage the Republican caucuses by talking to Democrats in Iowa?
How dare he?
The Democrats also officially had a caucus, and
yes.
So Obama was talking to his supporters,
yes.
Bill.
How dare he? Who does he think he is?
He's playing politics again, like he's running again or something.
What an idiot. He is an idiot.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, correction. I'm sorry. Cindy in Boston is about to go all Trekkie nerd all over us. The Klingons and the Romulans had the cloaking device in the original series.
So I was right.
We stand Romulans had it. We regret the error.
It's not an error, though. I was right. Oh. With the Romulans and the Klingons.
Okay. We apologize, nerds. Okay. Thank you for all the thank you notes for the youcendedit.com. Type in Stephanie. We are my vacation video from Christmas. We shot a little Montana video. Mark writes, thanks for the video. Thanks for the cool video. Now I know why you get all the crap for being with a younger girl. Nothing wrong with that. P.S. Does Lisa have a single older sister?
She says no.
No, she has a single old married sister, Mark, you big perv.
There's also a video of Spock insulting the Romulan commander that Cindy in Boston sent. So I may have to play that.
All right, so whoever likes girl on girl porn, look at the vacation video if you like your... Nerd porn.
Porn.
Yeah.
Nerd, then.
Jeff in Salem, hi, Steph. I just saw the cute multimedia montage you sent Elise put together from Montana. Steph, did you really wet yourself tire tubing down the hill in the snow? Yes.
Computer says yes.
Yes, adults are not meant to sled. It makes you laugh uncontrollably, and then, you know, when you're a certain age, it's a little, you know. And no Santorum, just, you know.
A little leakage?
Yeah, so I was laughing. You know what that means. You
so those commercials are true.
Mm-hmm. You know what that means. You and Lisa are both at ages where you need to wear diapers. Oh, that's the age joke. Oh,
hey.
Okay. Laura in Cupertino. Steph, thanks for sharing your vacation video with the fans. Nice of you to let us in a little to your life outside the show. You and Lisa are adorable and thin. Yuck. Thank you. Thanks to your vacation videos, I've now signed up with You Send It. Good for you! So I can share photos and videos with family scattered all over the U.S. It's awesome because files are too big, right, Chris LeBoy?
Absolutely.
How do we send things here at the Stephanie Miller Show?
You send
Thank
it.
You. Okay. to a family scattered all over the U.S., no offense, but I assume Lisa is the creative wizard behind your video.
Computer says, yeah.
I just annoyed her with suggestions that I had no idea how to implement. Oh, and then we made you edit the music.
Yeah,
because we both didn't know how to do that. Because
that's what I do. That's
yes.
My bag.
Yes.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
So I did.
Any idea what program she used to create it? I know it's all voodoo to you. You're right, Laura. The
computer says
it's all voodoo, but it's the scrapbook thing on Apple. There's one you can do with you can do the, like it's a movie, like you're starring in a movie together, and this one is the scrapbook one. It makes it look like a scrapbook.
Is this the girl from Cupertino that asked that question?
Yes.
She should know that's where Apple is based, for God's sakes.
For God's sakes, just go down the street and knock on the door at Apple. Pester me with like I'm technical support over here.
Or ask any 10-year-old.
Yeah, or just ask if you don't have... I don't have kids. That's my problem.
Yeah.
I got to ask friends' kids how to do stuff. I swear to God, that's how when I first got my iPhone, my best friend's Wanda, I saw her and her daughters literally in San Francisco, and I'm like, can you please have Taylor... She put in the flashlight thing for me so Mama can read the menus, you know, with the flashlight app. What? They did, and she did it in to look even stupider, she did it in like 4.5 seconds.
I could do that.
She's like, oh, here, blink, there you go. I was like, okay, thank you.
Is that the only app you have?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't have any apps either.
Yeah, see?
Really?
Because we don't have kids. Neither Jim and I have kids. But you have to go visit someone with kids to get stuff done.
You are not using the full potential of what you have in your hand.
I have to wait until Hump Day's with Hal. That's my Apple support day. Or I have to go to my friend's house with kids.
There's so much you can do with your phone that you're not doing.
What should it be doing for me now?
Well, A,
won't fire you. Siri is completely useless.
You could download some radio apps and listen to your own show on other stations besides the Los Angeles station.
Why would I want to do that? You know how bad my self-esteem is. I'm not a fan.
Just to see how other stations do things. See if they cut you off or anything.
just monitor myself.
Exactly.
So you want me to use it
control.
To make me even more self-involved. Is that what you're saying?
It's quality control.
That's not why God made apps.
And also, right. I have a tip calculator app that is just amazing.
Wow.
Yeah, you put in the total of your bill and...
I can't calculate.
Well,
I can't do mental math. I work in a word-based
industry. Yeah, you see
industry.
Jim, these kids today? These kids today, they don't even do math anymore because there's an app for it.
Right.
I didn't have a machine. How can I possibly figure out the tip?
God.
I don't want the app because I don't want to find out that I've been consistently cheap. I'm just going to go with what I've been doing.
Here's a nickel.
Yeah,
Here's a nickel. Why? What's wrong with that? In my day, the nickels had bumblebees on them. You ought to be happy with all the nickels I left you.
You could buy the blue plate special with a nickel in my day.
Oh, God.
All right. So the president announced a recess appointment. Yay.
Yep. What?
Yay.
How
Which,
dare he?
As we pointed out earlier, he's done 29 now. Ronald Reagan did, what did I say?
273. Yeah.
Recess. George
Nearly
Bush, 10
times
171.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but in case you haven't noticed.
Yes, he's black.
He's being uppity.
In case you haven't noticed, he's black.
Who does he think he is? President of the United States? Oh,
blark.
Damn it.
When Congress refuses to act, and as a result, hurts our economy and puts our people at risk.
I know that you are, but what
then
am I?
Then I have an obligation as president.
No, you don't.
To do what I can without them.
Shut up.
I've got an obligation to act on behalf of the American people.
You lie.
And I'm not
going to
stand by while a minority in the Senate puts party ideology ahead of the people that we were elected to serve.
Yeah.
Not with so much at stake. Not at this make or break moment for middle class Americans. Sure. We're not going to let that happen.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. You're calling us a minority. Ha! That's rich. You think you are.
Why did I get the feeling that that's exactly how Eric Cantor sounds when the president does anything? Like a petulant 15-year-old girl.
No. No, I did not.
Not the boss of me.
Shut up. You shut up.
Mary in New Mexico, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mayor.
Buenos dias.
Buenos dias. Adios mio.
I saw your picture, Stephanie, of the vacation you took with Lisa, and it looks like you had a fabulous time, and you two are so cute together. But I just have one question. Did you have a note from Lisa's parents to take her across the line?
Ha! Oh, Mary, with the age joke!
Yeah,
of today.
You could have a Chuck Berry situation.
Yeah.
Yes, I did. Her mother pinned it to her jacket. Okay. Right after I pinned her mittens to her jacket. All right. See, I can play, too. All right, the president yesterday.
I know that you're hearing a lot of promises from a lot of politicians lately. Today, you're only going to hear one from me. As long as I have the privilege of serving as your president, I promise to do everything I can, every day, every minute, every second, to make sure this is a country where hard work and responsibility mean something and everybody can get ahead. Not just those at the very top. Not just those who know how to work the system.
Shut up. No, you won't.
Well, you're president.
You're so smart.
Dumb president. Senator John Cornyn, Republican.
It's about the unprecedented power given to this, really, just as another czar, but this is really on steroids.
What the hell is he talking about?
He's not a czar. What? He's head of the Consumer Protection Agency.
Yes. He protects Americans.
Protecting consumers, commies.
Sounds czar-y.
Yeah, John
Americans are commies who don't deserve protection consumers.
John Cornyn will pass any law that protects businesses, but he gets really upset when you appoint someone to protect consumers.
Yeah, and how after this financial catastrophe, how can anyone with a straight face say we don't need this?
Yeah. And people without money can't consume things. So.
Exactly.
Dennett.
Yeah.
Dennett in Georgia. Hello. Hi, Dennett.
Hello. Happy New Year, guys.
Thank you. You too.
You're welcome. I'm so glad you guys are giving kudos to the president. I found a bumper sticker over the holiday that said, I like my presidents like I like my coffee, strong, smooth, and black.
Yay. All right. Oh, my goodness. He's black. Yeah, I mean, again, this is why you don't know what element of racism it is. It's just, I don't remember this kind of rhetoric. Santorum really, he accused the president of treason, essentially. And people just yawn. It's like, what? He repeated his claim that Obama has, quote, consistently sided with our enemies and refused to give him any credit for Osama bin Laden's
based
death.
On what?
He was asked by George Stephanopoulos to explain his comment at a rally in Iowa on Monday that in international conflicts, Obama has, quote, sided with our enemies on almost every single one.
Name one. Look over there! Chinese.
Santorum doubled down on his comments, saying Obama has appeased and pandered on the international stage, and the killing of bin Laden was set in motion by, of course, the Bush administration.
Yeah.
Set in motion, meaning they didn't accomplish anything.
I don't care where he is. I don't really care. I don't think about it.
So Santorum said that operations to kill bin Laden were missions that were defined by the Bush administration. Well, Obama simply went on and executed those decisions. So, yes, him shutting down the bin Laden unit and saying, I don't think much about where he is anymore. And then the president reconstituting that.
And pulling the soldiers out of Tora Bora.
And making the gutsy call on the operation killed him.
Wow.
That was unbelievable. Clearly, you know, just he was working on Bush's orders, as good black men do.
Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Germans?
What? Okay, 45. Wow. All right, 40. Yikes. Every one of these candidates you shine a flashlight on, it's like what you see under your house. Just
crawl space.
Potato bugs.
No good things come from your crawl space.
It's just, why won't you pay attention to Ron Paul? Shine a light on.
You're paying too much attention
to
Ron Paul.
You're not respecting Rick Santorum. Look at him. No! Turn the light off. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEP-1-2.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, you need the Shazam app.
What's that?
Okay, if you hear a song and you don't know what it is, you hit the Shazam app, hold it up to the radio, and it'll tell you the name of the song and who sings it.
Shazam!
That's really more an app for you, so that I don't sing it drunkenly on your machine when I'm asking for a bump.
No,
it's for you.
It's for you, so you could tell me what you need,
right,
and I will
so
get it
so I don't need
to
sing it, is what I'm saying. So I don't need to do
no,
the...
No, you need the app, so you know what the song
right,
is.
Right, because I'm not with you when the song is on.
I know, but that's the... See, I just call you and go, Chris, I want a song for a bump. It's a donkey dance. He just gets fancy.
That's, she's trying
if
to
if
prevent
I, that. If I hold Shazam up to that, it won't know.
Right.
It's my point.
So
that's what I'm saying. It's saving you from my drunk dialing.
Exactly.
That's my point. It's all about you. It's not about me. It's not about my needs.
Which is why you need to have it on your phone. I already have it on my phone.
By the way, Margaret writes, OMG, I love that flashlight app. That's how I know. Mm-hmm. People that listen to me are also old. Steph, I have a little gastrointestinal mischief now and then. Oh, I didn't need to know that.
There's an app for that.
There's an app for that, too, Margaret.
Santorum app.
My building has put in lights activated by movement, so if I'm in the bathroom too long and no one else comes in, I can suddenly be in the dark. I use the flashlight and get back out to where the electric eye sees movement again. Oh, that is... You don't want to be in the dark.
Yeah.
That's fascism.
Yeah. Yikes. All right. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, type in the promo code. Stephanie, you're going to love it.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of things my listeners love, it's Art in Chicago. Hi,
Hooray!
Art. Yay. Hi, Art.
Good morning. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too.
It'll be real pleasant for you. And
thank
I got
you.
One thing that I really, Obama disappointed me when he left Illinois to become a senator from Illinois. He voted against the amendment to protect the flag from public desecration, and we missed by one vote. The American Legion was very disappointed. One vote for the amendment to protect that flag from public burning, and so did Durbin. Durbin four times voted against
yes,
it.
Yes, they feel it's
now,
a free speech. It's a free speech issue.
It's, it's a First Amendment issue
speech,
by
right.
Cracky.
Yeah.
We tried to get.
See,
that
some people are believe that people fought. Under that flag,
that's
for
right.
our right to have free speech.
Right,
right. Okay, but the red, remember, is the blood of our veterans.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a Korean veteran. And
thank you for your service, Art.
We lost 53,000 men in Korea. That's a lot of blood on that flag. And you're going to burn it. You're going to burn my flag. The flag that's going to drape my coffin. And it's going to drape his coffin, too, by the way.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, but that flag means a lot.
That doesn't mean he's for desecrating the flag.
And when them Koreans saw that flag, that's where they would run to for safety.
Yes.
The American flag.
Sure, right.
And this guy wouldn't even vote for the amendment to
right.
protect.
But see what you were fighting
the
for.
The president of the United States
yes.
wouldn't protect the flag. He's going to go burn it somewhere in
Is
Asia.
Is that a
no,
real
he's
problem?
Not gonna I'm sorry, he's going to burn it where?
In Asia.
Excuse
oh,
me?
Art.
The president is going to burn the flag in Asia?
Well, that's his attitude.
No.
Oh. Yeah. All right.
It's
thanks
okay
for,
to burn yeah. it.
Okay. No. Thanks for calling.
No. Missed the point completely.
Burning the flag is an act of protest, and this country was founded upon protest.
It's incoherent speech, but it is nonetheless protected.
It is absolutely protected speech, and there should not be an amendment banning it.
If you know, what aspect of the flag is it that you're burning? I mean, it doesn't... In a way, you're protesting
burning
your right to do
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
But, you know.
And you know how we dispose of flags?
We burn them. Yeah.
That's in a dignified manner.
That is the approved method yep. of disposing of
yes.
the American flag.
Hmm. I always enjoy non sequitur for dessert from Art. The president's going to burn
in Asia.
Asia.
What?
Huh?
Oh, what?
I thought he was going to say the president's coffin will be draped in a Kenyan flag, but he didn't go there.
No.
He did not go there. I give him credit.
Yeah.
Okay.
You thought he was going to go east
no,
to
yeah.
Africa.
No.
Instead he went west.
No, he
Asia.
Did not. Okay.
Yeah, but Asia's in the east. Gotcha, by cracky. Yeah. Gotcha.
Oh. Tracy.
I was in Korea.
Hey, Tracy in L.A. I fought in the Peloponnesian War.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Wow, thanks for that. Look, I have a long commute to work here in L.A., and you guys get me there in good spirits. Art, my God.
You're a captive audience. That's what the great thing about L.A. is. The standard for entertainment is so low because you're in your car so long. You'd listen to anything, wouldn't you?
Go, right? You guys are awesome.
Thank you.
Listen, I just want to give you props because you guys are the only ones that call this stuff what it is with regard to these comments about the president and, you know, his recess appointments. And if Mitch McConnell calls him arrogant one more time, I'm personally going to fly to wherever he is and sock him in the face. I'm so sick of it.
Well,
and you guys called this stuff out. Ed called it out last night with the chart that showed the recess appointments and how low his have been.
Yep.
It blows my mind.
Yep.
And I'm just tired of...
Now, make sure you...
Make
sure McConnell doesn't see you coming because he'll just duck his head back into his shell and you won't be able to...
Exactly.
I'll hide in the turtle tunnel.
All right. Yes, it's such
turtle
a...
Turtle tunnel.
You know, when Brent Bozell goes on Fox News and says the president looks like a skinny ghetto crackhead, it's such subtle code, isn't
it? Not in a racist
exactly.
way.
I mean, you know, clearly he's never been in the ghetto or seen a crackhead. So.
All right, thank you, Tracy.
I've seen some pretty fat crackheads.
Really? How is that possible?
Pamela in Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Pam.
Hey, Mama and the Mook. How you doing?
Good.
So I have two things to say to you. First of all, you got my 9-year-old daughter in trouble.
Uh-oh.
Oops.
So that soundbite that you have, the computer says no, that soundbite?
Computer says
so
no.
My beautiful, wonderful daughter, every time someone says she doesn't like, including her teacher or her friends, she says, computer says no. So,
oh, dear.
Yeah, computer I says appreciate no. that.
Oh, dear. Toddler speaking in Stephanie Miller Show code.
And so when I'm in the meeting with her teacher and her teacher says that to me, I said, oh, it's her Aunt Stephanie. So, yeah, you're totally the one.
It's her crazy radio Aunt Steffi.
And also, I wanted to say, I listen to you on Stitcher, 820 a.m. comes out of Chicago.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So one morning, I'm listening to the weather, and it's cold, wet, rainy. So I get my kids up. I put them in their slickers, their boots the whole night. Only we live in Virginia.
You're like, oh, damn you, Stitcher.
What part of Virginia? Because now you can hear us in the D.C. suburbs.
Well, actually, we live in southwest Virginia, so
okay.
It's pretty mild. We live, like, in the mountains,
yeah.
So it's okay. But, yeah, the weather was completely not what I had them dressed for, and they were just about to get on the bus, and I'm like, oh, wait, wrong weather, sorry.
We apologize for different time zones, and we apologize for the weather in different sections
but
of the country.
I love you guys.
Love you, too.
So very much.
All right.
I didn't get to the show, so I bought it on iTunes.
Yay!
And it was awesome.
Wait, the Stephanie Miller comedy album.
Yes.
The Sexy Liberal.
Yes,
awesome.
Indeed.
Thank you, honey.
So it's great. We
thank
love you guys.
Thank you.
Bye.
Love you too, honey. Love you. Yeah, I know. Well, we got a request yesterday too that because podcast people would like us to talk about stuff that's going to happen tomorrow.
Yeah.
So that they can be current.
rather than things that are happening today. So we will get right on that. What?
What?
58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
After the hour, Chairman Debbie Wasserman Schultz coming up in just a few minutes to talk about the Republican primary and much more. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. Stephanie Miller Show on Facebook. All my vacation pictures are up, and thank you for the snarky comments on my vacation video as well. And also, now it's become a thing, people photoshopping a new marquees because the Sexy Liberal Show marquees around the country.
Yeah.
I'm on the Chicago Theater with, what, Peter Frampton and Creed?
Yeah, you are. Which is that's quite a mix.
Yes. March 3rd in Chicago. Hurry, tickets going fast. Chris and Yankton, I didn't even realize. I don't even know where I'm playing here. Stephanie Miller, Pablo Cruz, and Foghat. Thank you. You can see that one. Stephanie
Miller, cool for the city.
Stephanie Miller, Yahoo, Sirius, and the, what is that? The
Women's Bulgarian Choir.
Uh-huh. Not sure what city that's in. Okay, hang on. I can't even operate the... I'm trying to... What's the third one here? Hang on. All right, I'll find it.
Oh, Stephanie Miller, Air Supply, and Judas Priest.
Yes. Oh, that one. I don't know what city that's in.
That's a great bill.
Wow. Yeah. I'm playing. You know what's next, kids. Saturday, we're coming.
Rose City, get ready, because this year's most popular comedy tour is coming to the Beaver State.
Nice beaver.
Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show is blazing the trail to Portland, Oregon.
Well, Portland, Oregon is...
Stephanie Miller.
That ain't love, then tell me what is the
Oregon.
From Beaver, baby, cherry.
Beaver, cherry.
On January 7th, 2012, at the Newmark Theater, Stephanie Miller and her sexy liberal players will mercilessly mock Republicans to the max. Tickets are available online at Ticketmaster.com or by calling the Portland Center for Performing Arts box office at 503-432-2917.
Better than anything we have back in Portland, Oregon.
It's the perfect complement to an ice-cold Bridgeport brew.
Yeah, okay. Hey, speaking of Beaver, if you saw my vacation pictures, was I kidding? The name of the house I stayed in was Beaverhead Rock.
Oh, I thought you... Never mind.
Which I think that was a lesbian prank. That they I don't think it was named that. I think they just named it that. So I would have to keep calling the front desk and going, hi, it's Stephanie from Beaverhead. What? Stop it.
What'd I say?
All right. And yes, I did confirm I did pee myself sledding, inner tubing, whatever that is. Because adults really shouldn't do that. Danny in Chicago writes, Steph, just so you know, according to Liz Lemon on 30 Rock, what you experience sledding is known as lizzing. It's laughing and whizzing. Just so you know. Thank you. All right. And kids, check out the rest of the Sexy Liberal schedule. Portland up next. Then Philadelphia is February 4th. We're very excited. Phoenix sold out. Sorry. At Symphony Hall. Chicago selling out quickly, by the way, for March 3rd for Super Saturday. Albuquerque. A lot of people turning left. Those tickets are going very fast. That's approaching sellout there. Madison already sold out. And then on and on and on. We've got Minneapolis, Boston, L.A., Seattle. Check it out. Okay. And a lot of letters from San Francisco where that it's like a little holiday prank.
Yeah.
They replaced my show with Glenn Beck. We replaced your Stephanie Miller crystals with Glenn Beck in the morning. And I'm on 7 to 10 p.m. now on 960 there.
Yeah, just in like the old days.
Uh-huh. Yeah, apparently they've been getting a skosh bit of phone calls and emails.
We're getting some press, too.
Yes. It's like a bad acid trip. Susan writes, good Lord, why is the Bay Area being punished? Glenn Beck and Frothy the Santorum were on my clock radio this morning. Eek, I need an ear douche. Please come back to the Bay Area. Ear douche is selling like crazy. By the way,
what?
Speaking of Christmas miracles, did I tell you? My 88-year-old Republican mom has even cooled off on Glenn Beck. Even she's not a Glenn Beck fan anymore.
How did that happen?
My 88-year-old, I don't know.
What did he say?
I think she's fickle. I think once you lose your TV show, my mom's, you know,
when
she's
skedaddles.
Yeah.
Hmm.
She's lost credibility with her now. I don't know. You know, because I told you I didn't do a prank on purpose to my mother, but one of the publishers I met with in New York published all his books, and I was telling them, oh, my mom really loves him. So they sent me every book that Glenn Beck's ever written.
Ooh, even the Christmas sweater?
Jeez. I don't know. So I mailed her all the books, and I said, you know, Merry Christmas from my other sibling, and she didn't think it was funny. I got crickets on that. She's like, oh, Steffi, well, perhaps if you called more, you would know that... I've cooled on Glenn Beck.
She shoves the Catholic guilt in there.
Yeah. She's like, I don't. Well, since he's not been on television, I realize, you know, some of his views I didn't like so much, and I've cooled on him.
I guess when you can't see the chalkboard, he doesn't make as much sense.
Yeah, I guess not. When you're listening to
all the arrows.
So even my mom wouldn't be listening to Glenn Beck, is all I'm saying.
Okay.
All right, Julie with the breaking news. Mama, just saw I pull up John Huntsman with 13% in New Hampshire. Santorum has squeaked up into third. Wow, Santorum is pushing up against number two. Santorum is pushing right up against number two there.
Oh, my God.
In Santorum's case, we know it's only a matter of time before the bubble pops. Stand clear. Stand clear, everybody. The Santorum bubble bursts. You know what? That's a yikes. Then all that's
in the bunker.
Left behind will be another Mormon. No! John Huntsman. And a Mormon who actually worked for President Satan Hussein Obama.
Yeah, that'll never happen.
Yeah, the God warriors are going to go insane when they realize they're only...
I'm a God warrior!
Your two choices are not easy.
She's not a Christian! No!
Okay. Sorry. Let's go to Brian in El Paso on Santorum. Not literally. Okay. Hi, Brian.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Hear from you. You're a very nice lady. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say I'm sick and tired of the racial stuff. I let another friend of mine, I'm a black man, I let another friend of mine hear about the comment that he said. And, you know, it's to the point to where that room should have cleared out when he made that comment.
When he said, I don't want to help black people by giving them other people's money?
Yeah, and I'm wondering, he must have got my address wrong because I didn't get a
welfare check.
You know, he must have. I mean, I'm paying the student loans. And
yeah. You're like, where's my white person check this morning? What the hell?
Yeah, there you go. I happen to like people of all color and all types of music. I don't understand why I'm being branded as a welfare king or whatever. I'm just at the point to whereas... I can't say anything about it. It has to be from your own cousin. Your own cousin has to call you out. That's what me and some of my black friends say. It won't do us any good to say anything. So if all your listeners out there, if you are white, please condone your white cousins from saying things like that at barbecues, church, TV.
You know what?
If you don't agree with it, don't hide it. Just stand up and say, man, come on. Because if a black person came out and said something like that, in a black room or on TV, I'm the first person to say, dude, I don't think that.
Yep. Brian, you know what me and my black friends say? Rick Santorum is a douche nozzle. That's what we say.
Yeah, he is. I remember hearing the guy crying on your radio show because the president had to show his paperwork to everyone. And I remember saying, man, I mean, how mad can you be? But I got to the point now, I'm starting to laugh. That's why I listen to your show, because you laugh. And I have to say, the bit that you had about Al Sharpton screaming into the microphone still has me in tears.
Yes.
And I love Al Sharpton on the
phone. You know, volume has no racial divide. And someone's too loud, they're just too loud.
Yeah.
And you're right. And I'm thinking that's one of the things that we can laugh at. Because well, you know, Al Sharpton, you're on a national media. You're not talking to a bunch of black folks.
You know what? Relax. Brian, you and I would be drinking box wine and laughing our asses over that blueberry pie promo over and over. Well, I cannot hear the blueberry pie thing enough.
I know, and I'm sitting there going, you know what? I'm like, you know, my buddy, he's like, he said, somebody need to get a rim for a pair of glasses. He said, I was like,
all right, thank you. Brian's cracking himself up now. All right, it's like a blueberry pie.
Rick Santorum got blueberry pie all over his face. But it could be worse.
He's got his face in the pie. 15.
He could have Santorum all over his face.
Oh.
All right, Jim Louise. 16 minutes after the hour, right back with Chairman Debbie Wasserman Schultz on the Stephanie Miller Show.
she's your information slut.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 21 minutes after the hour. I like other great American girls, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
Especially if they happen to run the DNC. Okay. Chairman Debbie Wasserman Schultz joins us now. Good morning, Madam Chairman.
Good morning, Stephanie. Great to be with you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. We just wanted you
Thank
to
you.
Finish your thoughts that you started before Joe Scarborough started talking over you. Stop it, Jim. You were saying?
Well, I was saying that it seems evident, especially now that the Iowa caucus has passed us, that the lackluster field of Republican candidates for president has caused some angst among Republican voters. And one of those, the most significant of which, is that there is a hardcore anybody but Romney cadre of their voters who caused him to limp out of Iowa on the way to New Hampshire. And can you imagine, if I were with Mitt Romney, I would be pretty devastated about the results. I mean, this is someone who spent the most money to only beat the guy who spent the least money, Rick Santorum, by 8 votes.
Yeah.
And this is after spending 6 years trying to win the state, two rounds, and about the same number of Republican caucus goers went this time as went the last time. Not much. If they're talking about an enthusiasm gap, it clearly exists on the Republican side.
Well, did you ever think we'd be fortunate enough to live to see a Republican field like this, Congresswoman? I mean,
you know, I have to tell you, I think that it's in part so deficient because any of the more serious Republican contenders have decided that it's not likely that they'd beat President Obama, so they are sitting this one out. And so you've got a collection of underwhelming candidates, to say the least.
Yeah. And I love, here's been the, you know, the storyline is they complain that they're not getting enough attention, and then when a spotlight is, I think Newt Gingrich, it was essentially people were just like, oh, that guy from the 90s? And then
that's their whole MO is, I mean, from the 90s. Let's go back to the deficient Republican policies of the past that failed us, that brought us to the precipice of economic disaster, that caused President Obama to, when he took office, inherit the largest set of problems at once of any president since FDR. And so it's been 3 years, but he's begun to get the economy turned around. The unemployment rate is coming down. We've had 22 straight months of private sector job growth, you know, a little more than 3 million jobs created in the private sector. So we've got a long way to go, but the two choices, the dramatic contrast that exists between any of the Republican candidates, but particularly Mitt Romney and President Obama, is quite stark, and it'll be a very clear choice, I think, for voters as we go through the 2012 election.
Well, Congresswoman Schultz, it seems like, you know, there was they did an analysis of Rick Santorum's tax plan. Again, doesn't matter who the front runner is or who, I mean, all of their plans are the same. They all, you know, giveaways to the rich, tax the poor, and add trillions of dollars to the deficit.
And what's amazing is whether it's Mitt Romney or any of the rest of their field, they oppose the payroll tax cut, which put a $1,500 tax break in the pockets of middle class and working families. I mean, thanks to President Obama and congressional Democrats, we dragged them, kicking and screaming to reenact that and make sure that that didn't happen right before the holidays. President Obama has, in his time in office, given 95% of Americans a tax break, as opposed to the Bush years when the tax breaks were doled out to the wealthiest, most fortunate Americans exclusively. And that's who the Republican field continues to fight for, the people who are already doing well. Well, Stephanie, I represent a district that includes many, many people who are already doing well, and they talk to me all the time about how they'll still do well, even if their tax rate changes. But they understand that it means that the economy will improve. It means that we'll be able to continue to have a quality we'll make sure we have a quality education system. We'll make sure that people who need access to health care will be able to get it, and that benefits everyone. We need some balance. We need everyone to have a fair shake. The Republicans don't appear to believe in that.
Well, you know, and I like the president's new strategy, essentially, don't you? It's like he clearly has tried over and over and over and over to compromise with them, you know, and now he's things like the Richard Cordray appointment, you know, he's saying, look, I got to do what's best for the country. I'm going to have to go ahead and do that.
Well, let's talk about the Richard Cordray appointment. Richard Cordray, who was the president's nominee for the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, a key provision in the Wall Street Reform Act, because before the Wall Street Reform Act passed, there was no one minding the store. The industry was self-policing, and we saw what happened with banks that became too big to fail, that almost crashed our entire financial system. Now, with the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, we have an agency that specifically looks out for consumers, but they can't operate under the law unless they have a director. That's why the Republicans opposed his confirmation in the Senate, because they knew that the Bureau couldn't begin its work without a director in place. It's unacceptable. It's one thing if they said the president's nominee isn't qualified, isn't an acceptable choice. They know he is, but they're trying to do what they couldn't do when Wall Street reform was proposed. They couldn't block the law. Now they're trying to block its implementation, and that's just unacceptable.
Well, and you know, I already knew it, so I prepared with facts for this morning because I already talked about the overreach and the president's this unbelievable, you know, power, blah, blah, blah. He's done it, 29 times, the least of any president, you know, in terms of recess appointments. George Bush did 171. Ronald Reagan did 270-something. I mean, you know, and as you say, he has been, and that's just numbers. He has had a record number of appointees blocked, has he not?
Oh, a record number of appointees blocked, and the Republicans, of course, anything has to have Republican agreement in the Senate, because they've essentially required 60 votes, abused the filibuster system, and require 60 votes for anything to happen, including adjournment. So they refused to allow the Senate to adjourn for the congressional recess, specifically to prevent President Obama, to try to prevent President Obama from doing a recess appointment. Well, President Obama is doing what is within his executive authority. He recessed appointed Richard Cordray because he's not going to allow the Republicans to block consumers from getting the protection that is now the law.
Yep. Congresswoman, what would be your guess on what's going to happen on the Republican side in terms of the primary?
Well, I think, you know, through the month of January and probably on into the beginning of February at least, that we're going to continue to see the circular firing squad. As Mitt Romney limps into New Hampshire, you know, he's expected to win New Hampshire by double digits. So, I mean, nothing less than that is expected from him. If he comes out with less than double digit lead, then it's going to be underperformance again.
I know.
And then we'll see what happens in South Carolina and Florida.
I know it pains you to see a long, bloody Republican primary process.
Oh, yeah, I'd be all broken up over that.
I think we're going to have us a big party in Charlotte. My 88-year-old Republican mom lives there, so I hope you're planning some good parties and stuff.
We're going to have a convention that is the best convention in American history, because it will showcase the American people. It will showcase the opportunity to give working families across America the fair shake that they deserve, and the president that has been fighting for them since day one.
And just keep in mind that I can juggle if you need any other, you know, opening acts, whatever. All right. Chairman Debbie Wasserman Schultz, talk to you soon. Thanks so much for
you
taking
too.
Time.
Thanks.
All right.
Care, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Never know. Could get on the bill. Okay.
Yeah.
29 minutes.
Right about fog hat.
Bring Pablo Cruz with me.
Yep.
Okay. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I thought she'd be old and fragile like most cougars, but Kitty's got claws.
34 minutes after the hour. Oh, my God, Matt in Chicago. You went to school with Rick Santorum?
I graduated from the same high school, different classes, though.
Okay. Oh.
He was class of 76. I was class of 2002.
Oh, dear.
But I
you know, a lot of my friends and I, we woke up yesterday morning and we were just shocked and embarrassed that, you know, this guy came from our high school. And so I started a Facebook group where we could all join together.
Make snarky comment. What was he like in high school? The same? Just younger?
They were decades apart.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. we found a yearbook photo of him. He had sideburns back
yeah.
then.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that. Oh, yeah, that photo is making its round around the internet today.
Awesome. 70s ferns. Okay. All right. Speaking of the Republican primary, our good friend Representative John Yarmuth checks in with his thoughts. Good morning, Congressman.
Hey, Stephanie. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
Thank you.
So what a spectacle we have going on the...
No. The hits just keep on coming.
Yep. Yep. Were you shocked? You've served with Rick Santorum, so you kind of know how crazy most of his stances are, don't you?
Oh my gosh! this is somebody who's living in not the last century, probably 4 or 5 centuries ago, and you know the guy is so totally out of touch with modern civilization that it's frightening. But yeah. He does have one thing going for him. I think he is very authentic. He's genuine, and I think that's why he generated the support he did in Iowa.
You, there seems to be some aspersion there that Mitt Romney is not authentic.
Oh, I'm authentic, my friend.
I've been saying this for the last few weeks. I have, you know, people accuse President Obama of having an empathy deficit.
Yes.
Empathy is something that has never, ever been a part of Mitt Romney's persona. And you know what? One of the things that astounds me and is whenever he gets the Bain Capital thing raised
right.
and people talk about, well, you killed all these jobs, have you ever heard him once say anything about expressing sympathy for those employees who lost their jobs?
No.
Never. It's always about, well, you know, this is what you do, and this is the way the business world works, and blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
And he could at least say, you know, sometimes you, in order to save a company and preserve some jobs, you have to turn some people loose. He doesn't even do that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just mind-boggling how cold and uncompassionate this guy is.
Yeah. I'm sitting in Clear Channel right here, which is one of the companies that has, I know people that have been laid off after we were taken over by Bain Capital. Now, I mean, I'm not part of Clear Channel, but I'm on a lot of Clear Channel stations. So I think a lot of us know people that lost jobs directly because of Mitt Romney and Bain Capital.
Right. Just amazing.
Yeah. All you got to do is just, you can, you know, just run the pictures of him at Bain and all his buddies with all the throwing the money around and intercut it with corporations or people, my friend. And it's, I mean, but it couldn't be clearer this year, could it, the difference in policies?
No, there is. I mean, and this is one of the things that I've been saying for weeks and weeks and weeks now. While a lot of people scream about the fact there's such polarization, at least now there is a clear definition between what the two parties stand for. Nobody can doubt that there is a difference between Republicans and Democrats and between Republican candidates for president and President Obama.
Yeah.
So it's a good contrast right now.
Jim does a joke about how, but it's true about how places like CNN, they just, it's always has to be, you know, both sides are the same. They're pretty much the same.
We'll have to leave it there.
And it's, you're absolutely right. I mean, just to take one subject today, we were thinking, look how far we've come on gay rights under President Obama. Rick Santorum, who's supposed to be for, you know, small government, literally said, I would annul every gay marriage the minute I'm president.
Yeah.
You can't even do that. What happened to states' rights in that argument? You know?
Oh, well, of course.
Yeah.
Well, it's superseded by, again, his 15th century perspective.
Yes.
And wanting to ban all contraception, too.
Right.
By the fact that, you know, 98% of the women in the country use contraception.
Yeah.
I mean, again, he's just so out of touch, it's frightening. And,
yeah.
You know, let's just hope that he stays in the race for a long time.
Now, Congressman, one of the things we've talked about is you introduced a constitutional amendment to get the money out of politics by mm-hmm. overturning a key provision of Citizens United. I mean, isn't it hilarious to watch Newt Gingrich whining about the ads that Mitt Romney's PAC ran against him?
Well, it's like, of course, there's so much of that. It depends on whose ox is being gored in politics, but it is totally ironic. And the people who jumped on that decision, they deserve to be impacted negatively by it.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's one thing that we learned. Whatever you think you might like can be turned against you in this field, and that's what happened. So, We've seen it in Kentucky, just in the last election cycle. We're going to see it again this year, and you'll see it all through the country. And this whole idea that money is equated with protected speech, which is what my amendment gets at, is absurd. I mean, there is no absolute right to free speech. As we all know, you can't yell fire in a crowded theater. And as far as I'm concerned, in the political arena, this is like blowing up the theater, essentially allowing these unlimited expenses.
I mean, what do you think of the president's new strategy? I think obviously a lot of us on the left are thrilled about, you know, the recess appointment of Richard Cordray. I mean, just him. The president kind of saying, you know, this Congress has refused to work with me. I'm going forward. I mean, I read a quote from you recently. You said, when I worked in the Senate back in the 70s, you had liberals and conservatives in both mm-hmm. parties. You could always find someone in the other party to work with. So partisanship was not nearly the factor it is now.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not just, you know, someone like you saying it. It's provable, right? I mean, we almost shut the government down, what, four times last year?
Absolutely.
I mean, yeah, I mean, it's just, it's not a way to govern, and I think the president has finally acknowledged that, right?
Absolutely, and I'm glad he did. The one thing I wish he had said yesterday, and I hope he was, says, is as these people in the Senate, led by my senator, Mitch McConnell, are violating their constitutional oath.
Right.
They are undermining the Constitution by refusing to perform their duty to advise and consent. Their duty is not necessarily to block an appointee. It's to advise and consent, which means considering them and voting on them.
Mm-hmm.
And they refuse to do that, and they're doing it basically to try to undo duly passed legislation.
Yeah.
And so they're the ones that are violating, you know, Mitch called the president arrogant yesterday. What they're doing is downright unconstitutional as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Well, Congressman, we just got off the phone with Debbie Wasserman Schultz, your colleague and chairman, and she's pained by the thought of a long, bloody Republican primary process, as you can well imagine.
Yes.
It seems fairly predictable. Romney's going to win New Hampshire Tuesday, right?
Yes.
And then what? Then who wins South Carolina? Goes back to what? Santorum or...
Well, I think it probably really doesn't matter who wins. The question is whether anybody's going to start getting significant shares of these delegates in each primary state, because they don't have winner-take-all states. They're all proportionate voting. So even if Romney continues to win but gets 25-30% of the vote, he's only going to get 25-30% of the delegates, which means all of this stuff goes to the convention. And that means Santorum continues to have his forum, and so does Rick Perry if he stays in it, and so does Newt Gingrich. So, again, I'm not sure if he starts getting 50% or more of the vote in some of these primaries, then it's going to be effectively over. But it's pretty clear that he's not been able, except in New Hampshire, to generate more than 25% of the support of his party. So this could go on a long time.
Were you surprised Rick Perry staying in?
I was, but I think he's probably looking at it the same way I'm looking at it, that he doesn't need to win any of these things. If he ends up with 15-20% of the vote, he maintains his viability. He obviously has a lot of money to spend, so he's not, and he can get federal funds starting soon, so he's not under the same constraints that maybe a Michelle Bachmann would be, who can raise a lot of money for her congressional seat, but not necessarily for presidential.
Speaking of which, being your colleague and all, will you miss the wisdom and that she brings to the you know, and the soberness she brings to the race?
Oh boy!
Gosh. yeah. You know.
Yeah.
I listened, unfortunately, to most of her concession speech the other day, and she is just in a parallel universe.
Yeah. It was poignant, though, as she would say.
It's delusional. It's delusional what she's saying. And just to come up with this social, keep saying the socialism stuff. I mean, this is McCarthy-esque what she does.
Yeah.
But she's not nearly as smart as McCarthy was.
Oh, you might have missed that Santorum actually compared the Affordable Care Act to the fascism that his grandfather escaped under Mussolini.
Oh, jeez. Oh, wow. I mean, these people say something. I mean, I heard Romney the other day in an interview when he was trying to lay out his economic plan, said, well, the president hasn't put forth any bilateral trade agreements. We need to do more bilateral trade agreements because the president won't do them. We just passed three of them. They will say anything.
Oops.
It has absolutely no connection to reality.
Awesome.
It doesn't matter.
Awesome. That's why we have you to bring us back to reality. Representative John Yarmuth of the great state of Kentucky, thanks so much, sir. Always
my
a pleasure.
My pleasure, Stephanie. Always a pleasure to be with you.
All right. There he goes. Bye-bye. Connie in Pennsylvania, real quick, on Art in Chicago. Hello, Connie.
Hi, Steph. Hi, Luke.
Hi,
hi guys. This is for Art. Does it matter that the American flag was made in China, and does that make it a real American flag?
You see?
You're missing the point, Missy.
That's a gotcha question.
Gotcha. You got me. I have a hard answer for that.
And so he's worried about it being buried or burned in an Asian country, right?
Right.
Yes.
So isn't that where it came from?
Yes.
Yeah.
Ashes to ashes.
I want to thank you guys for working on Monday, because my husband didn't work, and he got to hear your frothy Santorum.
Oh, great.
And he never gets to listen to you guys, so he was just howling.
Takes time to get over. All right, thank
you. My husband was born in West Seneca.
Right up the transit from Lackport, Mama's hometown.
And my birthday is September 30th, 1961.
Whoa. Mine is September 29th. Oh, my God.
I know.
I got right.
We're awesome. Are we connected?
Right? Awesome, right? Soulmates. BFF soulmates. Okay, see ya. Bye, Connie.
I hope Art's listening.
All right.
Okay,
bye. All right,
bye, Cracky.
All right.
I'm going to burn my radio. Protest.
45 minutes after the hour. Back with the remaining moments of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Bruce bought the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, Volume 1. One of the many, many people made us number one on Billboard, iTunes, Amazon. Check it out. Get it. Okay. Thank you. By the way, there may be or may not be a major story in a major national newspaper tomorrow. But I'm not going to say, because it's, we've gotten bumped a couple of times.
A major paper in the USA?
I'm just saying, if you're going to buy your Sexy Liberal tickets, I'd do it today, just in case, because it'll be pandemonium tomorrow.
You'd buy them in the USA today?
Mm-hmm. Okay,
what?
You know, Chris, I saw that Mittens on TV last night claiming that he created 100,000 jobs.
Yes, he said that.
While he ran
and then 100 million.
Mm-hmm. As it turns out.
You're a lying sack of crap.
I'm starting to get a spidey sense when I see him. I'm like, here's the asshole. His spokesman actually said the 100,000 figure stems from the growth from three companies that he helped to start or grow while at Bain Capital. The tally obviously does not include job losses from all the other companies which Bain Capital was involved in, are based on current employment figures, not the period when Romney worked at Bain, just in case you... So I'm sure he... lost many more than he gained. That's a little bit of cherry picking there.
I don't trust that man as far as I could throw him.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to...
I don't either, and I am that man.
Bill in Texas. Hello, Billy.
Hi, Stephanie, and Happy New Year to you.
Thank you. Happy New Year.
Poor misguided gaggle over there.
We're a gaggle now.
Happy New Year, poor misguided gaggle.
Thanks, Billy.
Mm-hmm. Listen, guys, this Citizens United case that y'all keep whining about, I got a question. Why in the world, if corporations are taxed, why shouldn't they be represented? And if corporations are conglomerations or groupings of people run by people, why shouldn't those people be taxed?
Yeah, so all those people have to think alike then.
What's that?
All those people have to think alike then, if they're going to...
All those people do not constitute one additional person.
Hmm. Yeah, like the unions, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like unions?
Yeah. What's your point?
Unions don't vote in the ballot box either.
The union people are voting, and union people do.
The individual people are voting. Yes, just like the individual people who make up a corporation are voting.
So the Teamsters union should have one vote.
We're talking about spending money, though. That's what you're crying about over there. And if you can't spend money to get your point of view out, you're not being properly represented.
But a union doesn't vote like an individual does.
As a bloc, right.
No, they vote, individuals within the union can vote however they want.
Right.
He's precious.
So your argument has been
that
shot
makes
down,
no sense.
Billy.
See? That's what I found out on vacation. I'm a good shot, as it turns
out.
As much as I hate guns as a liberal, once I got good at it, I'm like, huh.
You go, girl.
So they pay taxes, so they should be allowed to vote as a bloc.
Although I was a little spazzy. Did you watch the video?
Just like the unions. No.
Eric in Ohio writes, Steph, I just watched your vacation video from Planet Norman Rockwell. you and Lisa do make a nice couple. I suggest you send it to Rick Santorum. When he sees the way you handle a rifle, he'll realize that some women were not meant to handle penises.
Oh.
I was very spazzy with the rifle.
Well, you hadn't handled
one. It was
one.
Big and it went off in my hand. Yeah. It scared me.
Well, you hadn't handled one since the 90s. Or the
80s. College.
90s.
90s, okay.
Yeah, it's not that long ago.
All right.
They look the same, right? Okay. Guns, I mean.
Oh, sure.
Well.
Okay. Tony writes, Steph, you don't have any pictures of you kissing a girl on your vacation. You want some? Oh, Tony, you big perv. No, thank you. Oh, all right. By the way, I was mentioning this earlier. Romney's economic plan includes a $6.6 trillion tax cut that overwhelmingly, of course, benefits the rich and corporations, who are people, my friend.
Oh, yeah. Yes, they are.
It would yield approximately $6.5 trillion in deficits from 2013 through 2021. The Tax Policy Center has not done Rick Santorum's plan yet because no one took him seriously, because he's Rick Santorum.
Right.
However, because it cuts rates significantly but does not eliminate tax preferences and even expands a few, it would likely also add trillions of dollars to the federal deficit. Looked at from that prism, it's not so different from the idea. They're all the same, is what I'm saying. All of the Republican plans are the same. Yeah, he has said that he's for income inequality and the country's economic woes are the result of huge moral failings, which is code for gay people.
Yep.
Gay people. But he is pushing up against number two in New Hampshire. And you gotta respect that. Santorum is rising again.
Mm-hmm. I think that bubble's gonna burst, though.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
Gonna be a mess. John Huntsman reacted to John McCain's endorsement the same way he reacted to the Santorum surge. He said, nobody cares. He said, it seems more the establishment piles on, Dole, McCain, all the rest. Nobody cares. Nobody cares.
I wish I could dismiss my problems as easily as that. Nobody cares.
Only Bob Dole cares about Bob Dole's endorsement.
Bob Dole. Bob Dole cares about Bob Dole's endorsement. Nobody Bob Dole cares about Bob Dole.
Tim in Tucson. Hi, Tim.
Isn't it a known fact that most people that receive welfare are not black?
Yes.
And, like, you know, returning the nation's wealth to its rightful owners, all these buzzwords, welfare, food stamps, you know, you hear Limbaugh and them say that. And all you can do is sit back and shake your head because the facts just don't bear that out.
Yep, that's correct. Yes. Okay, that's correct. Yes, and Rick Santorum is a racist. Yes, indeed. Can I have some scary... Oh, I'll just do my own scary music because I just wanted to do the story so I can say the word murder.
Murder.
Gawker writing, the queen probably did not murder the dead woman found on her estate.
What you say?
Wait a minute, huh? What? Back up. What the... Huh?
A dead woman has been found on Queen Elizabeth's country estate. Gawker saying, I know what you're thinking. The queen murdered someone. As it turns out, no. The queen technically not a suspect at this stage. I love Mrs. Gawker says, here's how I predict this mystery will turn out. They'll gather the entire royal family in the parlor room of the estate.
Yes.
They'll lay out several competing theories for the murder.
It was Colonel Mustard!
Has everyone in the family had a motive before ultimately revealing that the body is the real Queen Elizabeth and the United Kingdom has been ruled by an imposter for the past decade?
Uh-huh.
Then the fake Queen Elizabeth will pull out a pistol and threaten everyone before Kate disarms her in the credits roll. Starring Rowan Atkinson as the bumbling patrolman.
Perfect.
I'm guessing the Queen is not amused.
No,
you're not amused.
I ought to have someone whacked. I apologize. All right, Donald Trump. Oh, this is going to be huge.
Huge.
The new Celebrity Apprentice crew includes our friend George Takei.
Oh.
Oh, my.
Oh, my.
Oh, my. Also, Victoria Gotti, Clay Aiken, Adam Carolla, Arsenio Hall, Cheryl Teagues, and the Incredible Hulk, Lou Ferrigno, and Debbie Gibson. Wow.
Deborah Gibson.
Deborah, sorry. That's why I know there's a big age difference between Lisa and I, because that's like, she was obsessed with Debbie Gibson, and I'm like...
Oh. Why?
I don't... What?
Well, also, Teresa Giudice of the Real Housewives of New Jersey.
Yes, the one that...
That flipped over the table and called the other woman a prostitution whore! Yes.
Ooh, a prostitution whore, not a regular.
A prostitution whore.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
Can't wait to see her.
That's redundant and repetitious.
That's why I love it.
Sinead O'Connor's back with her husband. Okay, good. All right.
Great.
Whatever.
That's crazy. Okay. That's a whole bucket of crazy things.
Yikes. All right. We'll talk about that more tomorrow. We'll see you then on The Stephanie Miller Show.